I invite you to join me in a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for these children. I ask that you would go with them and their teachers. I pray that you would help them hear your word and understand it. And I pray for all of us, the kids and adults, that you would put on us a burden for all those who don't yet know the gospel. I thank you, Lord, that you desire that none would perish, but everyone come to life through Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Chris, come on out here. I want to introduce our preacher this morning. We have with us Father Chris Royer, who is the leader of the AFM, the Anglican Frontiers Missions. There's an insert in your bulletin with a little bit about that, and it's just great to have you here today. So we're eager to hear the word from you, so welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be here with you all.
And Anglican Frontier Missions, we always say that our mission is to do frontier missions Anglicanly. Frontier Missions is going to peoples and places where there are not yet established churches. There's about 5,000 ethno-linguistic groups representing 2 billion people where the church has not yet been established. That's our heart, that's our mission, and we do it Anglicanly, meaning that we integrate liturgy and sacrament in this great tradition that God's bequeathed to us as we disciple and make churches among Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, tribal, and secular background people groups. You can learn more at our table there or in the adult education service after this service as well. And I just want to say parenthetically, in my circles, I run into the Reverend Brent McHugh occasionally, as well as Good Shepherd India, and I'm just so excited that this church is a church of global missions, that you all have a heart for not only right here, but to the ends of the earth. And with that, I'm just going to pray again real briefly. Would you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts this morning, God, be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. And all God's people at Grace Anglican say, amen. That is really good for an 8:30 service. I commend your amen. Well, many years ago, in 1992, in the days before there were cell phones, does anyone remember those days before cell phones? I was in Bulgaria, and there were a ton of Turkish villages in Bulgaria, and I went there because this one guy, we'll call him Yakub, he was a Muslim, he went to sleep one night, and in his dream, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him and said, Yakub, I want you to start praying for people in the name of Jesus Christ. He woke up, he obeyed the dream that he had, and even though he wasn't yet a Christian, he started praying for people in Jesus Christ's name, and you know what happened? People got healed. People started reading the Bible. They got some Bibles. They got saved. And the word about Yakub and this power that God had given him to heal people in Jesus' name, it spread to all the villages around. One day, a mother tragically lost her newborn baby. Desperate, depressed, she walked miles from her village to Yakub's village and laid her clothes of her dead baby at his feet. He bent down, he picked them up, put one hand on top of the clothes, and he prayed in the name of Jesus Christ that that baby might live again. That evening, as I stood in that village and heard villager after villager explain that God had raised Jesus, that God had raised Jesus, we know he raised Jesus from the dead, but that God had raised that baby and brought her back to life, I was dumbfounded. I was amazed. Dozens of people testified about what God had done through this ex-Muslim, now Turkish preacher, through the power of Jesus Christ. Well, the next year I went home to the States and I was telling some of my friends from high school that this had happened. And they said, Chris, come on, get out of here. Resurrection just doesn't happen. I'm too scientific for that. I'm too intellectual for that. I'm too smart to believe that God would actually bring life to someone that is dead. Resurrection, it's an impossibility. Or is it? Resurrection, fact or fairy tale? Reality or myth? Paul, in our passage today, talks about resurrection, and he says, as you see on the slides up there, glad that they're working. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord. If there's no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised from the dead, well, then our preaching is useless. Our gathering here today is useless. the gathering of hundreds of millions of Jesus followers around the globe today also useless. If there's no resurrection, Christianity just crumbles like a house of cards. The 12 apostles stake their lives on it. They fearlessly, unflinchingly proclaimed to their very last breath. 11 of the 12 were martyred violently. They proclaimed that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. But has he? There's this story about this husband and wife and the mother-in-law, and they were in the Holy Lands touring Jerusalem. And unfortunately, the mother-in-law died, and so the husband had to go to the funeral home. And the funeral director said, I can bury her here in the holy city for about $100 or ship her body back to the U.S. for about $5,000. And the husband automatically said, ship her back to the U.S. And he did a double take. He said, what? You're blowing $4,900 and a chance to bury your mother-in-law in the holy city? And the husband said, 2,000 years ago, someone died in this city and came back to life 3 days later. I don't want to take that same chance with my mother-in-law. The mother-in-law's resurrection was an undesirable condition, at least for the husband. So also for the Greeks of Paul's day. You see, Greeks believed that physical resurrection, that our mortal bodily existence was a trap for our spirit, for our personality, which was immortal and eternal. And therefore, they believed that having a physically resurrected body was supremely undesirable, unwanted. That goes back to the philosopher Plato, of course. So when Jesus' disciples proclaimed that Jesus had risen from the dead, the Greeks would naturally say, what's the point? Doesn't make sense. No big deal. And for the Jews envisioned this general resurrection of everyone at the same time at the end of history. So the idea of one man at one point in history rising from the dead, that was nonsensical to them. It confounded their thinking. And that's why Paul says, and you see it on the screen, that resurrection really is a stumbling block for Jews, foolishness for Gentiles. It's something that neither of them could have conceived in a million of years, even if they tried really hard. It's like a humpback whale walking erect on land, or a Chevy pickup truck flying over the air. It's just inconceivable. But when the disciples saw Jesus risen from the dead, game changer, perspective shift. Their worldview changed on a dime. And here we are today at Grace Anglican Church 2,000 years later, knowing full well that we are to be fearless and bold, sharing our faith like the 12 disciples are and like AFM missionaries are doing to the ends of the earth. We know that God has called us to share Jesus, to share with anyone and everyone a reason for the hope that we have within us, to share him in our schools, in our neighborhoods, with our friends, in our grocery stores, even on the pickleball court. Anyone play pickleball here? Wow, very few. It's different in South Carolina where I'm from. It's just they smash him with the pickleball, and then they smash him with Jesus, and they say, of course, I'm sorry, before they... I'm just joking on that. They don't smash him with a pickleball. Anywhere and everywhere, because the Father's desire is for all of Fleming Island and all of the ends of the earth to have the opportunity to respond to Jesus, to say yes. But if we're honest, it can be awkward, it can be intimidating to share about Jesus Christ. Where I lived in the Middle East for about 20 years, there's this wonderful story about a mama and a baby camel. One day the baby camel says to her mama, Mama, why do we have these big hooves on our feet? And the mama camel says, oh, that's easy. Answer, so we can walk across sand dunes without sinking down. Okay, mama, well, why do we have these long eyelashes over our eyes? Oh, darling, that's so simple. That's so we can walk through fierce desert sandstorms without the grains of sand getting in our eyes. Okay, mama, why do we have these two lumps or humps or whatever you call them on our back? Do you call them lumps or humps? I'm looking at you. Good for you. Humps. Why do we have these two humps on our back? And the mama camel says, oh, that's just also so easy. So we can walk for weeks on end without having to drink water. A baby camel says, if that's so, mama, then tell me, why are we still living in a zoo? What a great teacher Mama Camel is. If only she was out in the wild walking the talk, not stuck behind bars in a zoo. But I wonder, Grace Anglican, can the church be kind of like a zoo sometimes for us Jesus followers? We're grateful for our teaching, for our worship on Sunday mornings, for our fellowship, for our beautiful music. But it seems like the world oftentimes is trying to keep us right in this space and not going out of this space and verbalizing the hope for the reason that we have within us, which is Jesus' resurrection. The world seems like it's constantly trying to tame us Jesus followers. In the name of political correctness, don't talk about politics or your faith in Jesus. In the name of, whoa, don't violate my personal space, my perimeter of privacy. Don't talk about Jesus in my presence. Or in the name of, just be Christians right here on Sunday mornings. Just be quiet the rest of the week. It seems like there's so many justifications and explanations and argumentations as to why we Christians should not share the reason for the hope that we have within us. But Grace Anglican Church, as camel's feet are made for walking in the wild, Christian feet are made for sharing the good news with those who do not know Jesus. What does Paul say in Ephesians 6? Shod your feet, or prepare your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. If we're content and confined to being Christians right here, then we're kind of like handicapped Christians or camels stuck behind bars in a zoo. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, you know that as much as your heart is excited and happy for those kids of yours who are doing well in life, killing it in life, successful and happy and joyful in life, you know, I know, that our hearts are just as sad for those children of ours who are kind of meandering throughout life, lost in life, getting stuck in life. So much more the Father's heart. That's why Jesus came. That's why he preached the Sermon on the Mount that we read. That's why he heals the sick and he casts out demons. That's why he proclaims the good news, because the Father's heart is for those who are lost in life, stuck in life. And so if we're only content doing things in this building, though these are important things, teaching, worship, fellowship, we're kind of like camels stuck behind bars in a zoo. All right. What is your name? Okay, what am I doing right now? That's right. This is a bright young man. I'm snapping my fingers. That's the gerund. Someone tell me what the noun is. What's the noun for snapping? This is a test. Snap. Very good. Snap. Snap is an acronym that I made up a couple weeks ago to help us share the gospel of Jesus. Just an acronym to help us remind us of four things. The S stands for simple gospel. Share the simple gospel. And the gospel is simple this, that we're more flawed and sinful than we ever could imagine, but we're more loved in Jesus Christ than we ever could have dreamed, that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused our iniquities, our problems, our physical ailments to fall on him, that Jesus Christ came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many, that Jesus, when we come to him, he'll liberate us from the things that bind us and break us, and he'll give us new life. It doesn't have to be perfect, our sharing of the gospel. It can be awkward. God's grace transcends our inabilities and our human flaws when we share the gospel. But at the same time, friends, faith comes by hearing.
and hearing by the word of God. They need to hear the gospel. Don't need a seminary degree. Doesn't have to be perfect, but simple gospel. Share the simple gospel. N for narrative or story. If we start with theology, trying to defend the divinity of Christ or the virgin birth or the Trinity, we get argumentation and rebuttal. But if you share your narrative, i.e. your story of what the Father has done in your life through Jesus and the Spirit, there's no rebuttal to that. So I say when I was 12 years old, my parents were going through a horrific divorce. Someone invited me to church. I heard the Gospel of John spoken on week after week after week. And as I heard Jesus' words, they were life-giving, and this heaviness lifted off of me, and this joy came inside of my body and my heart, and I found new life and new purpose. That's just a sliver of my narrative or my story. Each of you has your own. S, simple gospel. N, narrative, share your story. A, authentically, from your heart, with emotions. Some of us grew up in a generation when the difference between good and evil, right and wrong, was clear and unmistakable. Some of us grew up in a generation when kids only got in trouble for chewing gum or talking in class in schools. Today, there's a lot of talk about the fiscal cliff, which scares me, but what scares me even more is the spiritual cliff our nation is upon. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, if you don't share the gospel with your grandkids, with your nieces and nephews and kids, who will? A, authentically, from your heart, with your emotions and your passions. And finally, P. The P stands for, what does it stand for? Prayerfully, there we go, prayerfully. When I came a Christian, I started sharing the gospel with my family. No one was saved, and nothing happened. And then my youth group leader said, you need to pray, Chris. So I started praying for my whole family. My sister was at college, not a believer. Either was her boyfriend, but I was praying. They both went to two separate revival meetings on the same weekend, got saved, come back, and shared that they both became Christians on the same weekend together. What are the odds of that? The Holy Spirit moved in part through my prayers to bring them to faith. Simple gospel, narrative form, share your story authentically from your heart and prayerfully. Snap. Can I hear you snap? Good job. My daughters love the violin. There was a violinist named Fritz Kreisler of the last century. He played a lot but gave most of his money away. One day, he came across this collector's violin that he felt he just had to have, 300-400 years old. So he started saving his money and playing more and saving more money. And when he had enough money, he went to the collector who said, the violin has just been sold to another collector. So he went to the new collector, and the new guy said, not for sale, sorry. But he had this inspiration. He said, could I play that violin just one time? The new collector said, sure. He got it out from the case. He tightened the bow, put the rosin on the bow, and he played this most beautiful, exquisite music. It brought the new collector to tears, sobbing, gushing. As he's putting the violin away, the new collector says, I have no right to keep this instrument for myself. It's yours, but play it for all the world to hear. Grace Anglican Church, we have something so much more precious than a wooden instrument in our hands. We have in these jars of clay the very life, love, presence, and power. Resurrection power of Jesus Christ is living inside of us. Grace Anglican, you're not made for the zoo. You're made for the wild. You're made to tread sand dunes, to go across sandstorms, to climb mountains in the name of Jesus Christ. Because there still is no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus is still the way and the truth and the life. and Fleming Island, Florida, needs to hear about this Jesus, our Jesus, through you, through each and every one of you. Amen. Let us pray. Let me bless you. Father, I thank you for this church, and we pray for Grace Anglican Church. We pray, Lord, that the Spirit of the living God would be upon them, that they would preach good tidings to the meek, that they would bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the good year and release from prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the good and favorable year of the Lord, to give unto those who mourn, to give it unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that those outside this church might be like oaks and called the planting of the Lord. Father in heaven, use this church to share the gospel, not only at the ends of the earth, but right here in Fleming Island. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory because this is your work, working through them. And we pray these things in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And together, all God's saints say, amen.